Welcome back to the Beast Game Podcast. We are talking about part two of the series Dune, which is a science fiction set way in the future and a psychotropic drug that is called Spice.
Melange Spice.
What a
Melange.
Drug is supposed to help you live longer. Economy set around that, where in the first movie, Duke Leto Atreides was supposed to go to a planet, help with the spice production, until the ops came and decided they didn't want him in the business any longer. So his son Paul marooned he and his mother, and they meet up with people called the Freemen that they try to help shield them and teach the ways of the Freemen, and Paul becomes one of them. So that picks up in this movie with him and Zendaya now in a
relationship.
Now in a relationship, Paul is supposed to bring about change to avenge his father's death and take out the ops. So we'll go to our resident Dune expert, Keith. How did you feel about Dune Part 2?
Better than the first one?
Yeah.
Probably the best iteration of the Dune franchise. I mean, I'm a huge Denis Villeneuve fan. He is one of my favorite filmmakers. His visual style and means of storytelling, his cinematic eye, that he's in top form in this movie. Visually, it was one of the more stunning films. Like, this is beyond what you kind of expect in terms of spectacle-wise.
Yeah, I will say, between this movie, maybe The Creator, and that's one thing that when James and I saw it, he was like, yo, this really looks great.
Beautiful movie. Yeah, like, well shot, cinematography, everything.
Shot. Go ahead, Keith.
Well shot.
The aesthetics, the costuming, the it's just like everything. It's something that is hard to describe in terms of, like, a lot of people compare these movies to the David Lynch film from 1984.
Which
in terms
that of, his stuff looks bad.
And that's the one I fell asleep on. I literally fell asleep on that.
And David Lynch had a very distinctive visual style and flair for it, but this is just war. They were able to, and that's almost grounded. There's some slight changes from what's in the book. Just very slight, not huge, massive changes and everything. And, you know, I won't go into spoilers in terms of that, but there are some differences there when it goes on this and what happens in Frank Herbert's original novel. Doesn't detract from it. You understand why these changes are made. You're more intrigued to see where it's going to go off as opposed to being annoyed by the changes themselves. Like, he's just changing something just to change it. It was like, no, there was no need to keep the pacing going rather than have a big 5-year time skip in the middle of this and introduce other characters and everything. They kept the tight focus on the characters they had and told the story that they had. Some of the standout performances was Zendaya. She did a really good job as Chani. Rebecca Ferguson was fantastic. Even though her role should have diminished that second half, scary as shit. She's walking around talking to her unborn baby and just having full-on conversations.
At one point, she just kind of goes full. She's not necessarily possessed, but she's like a true believer. It just gets a little creepy.
Enact the powers and their skills. Another thing I did notice was that they definitely did a one-up with the hand-to-hand combat in the second film. They got
because that first big fight scene with the Harkonnen, like, what the heck, the secret ninja mission and kill everybody, and that one wasn't great in that first movie.
But second film, it was kicking ass. And that whole sandworm scene, I was like, God, if you felt that shit in your chest. Soundtrack and everything. I mean, that thing was just thrumming in your chest. And Javier Bardem being the biggest hype man on the fucking planet. I mean, he was just like going around. Leave the guy eat.
He said, as he has foreseen everything he did, he was just like, he was Flavor Flav in there, man.
He was like, oh, well, he's supposed to be humble like that. He's supposed to say that he's not the one, basically.
Right. Even though he's the one.
He's the one. You can't. I mean, it's blowing my mind the way he does things. The dude rash his nose. Oh, it's amazing. This is a drastic improvement. He definitely took the criticisms from the first film, which were few, but they were there, and he applied them to this one. And he took his own liberties. Talking about Denis Villeneuve, he took his own liberties with the film, with the source material. If you're going to do an interpretation of something and you love it, you know everything you know about it, You've read everything about it. This is how you do the interpretation of it. I mean, it, some things are not going to fit. Some things are not going to do well and translate well into film. He was able to translate what he could to film, and what he couldn't translate to film, he either cut away from it or altered it enough that it worked within the film itself. So it was phenomenal. And I'm going to say the biggest thing that I noticed in this, and I think it's the reason why it is so popular today, is that he took an extremely diverse cast and he didn't force inject the diversity into it.
Yeah.
It was basically the Fremen of Arrakis, clearly Middle Eastern, African, Sub-Saharan, Northern African, and then they even divided up the Fremen themselves. It was like, you clearly could identify the different tribes.
Yeah.
You knew that this guy was from this tribe, this person from these tribes, like all of Jameis is like from the first movie, the guy Paul killed named Jameis, you saw his people. I mean, they were this dreadlock Negroes, like they were pissed. And you knew who they were. You knew who the Southern tribesmen were because they looked and sounded like Javier Bardem's character. You knew who the Northern tribes were. They were more urbane and their accents were very slight, like Zendaya. They had the same coloring, the same accent. The Harkonnen from Giddy Prime, they all looked the same. They didn't try to inject this, oh, we're going to have this, we need black female gay actors to keep it from Harkonnen. Like, it wasn't necessary. They stuck to the ethnic ties of that. They kept the religious aspects of it. It was all well done. So I cannot talk enough about this. I've seen the movie twice already, IMAX and RPX. I'm going to go see that shit again. Fantastic film. Can't recommend it enough.
All right, Jay.
Okay. Keith said a mouthful. For a person that don't know jack shit about Dune, I didn't even see the first one out of the new series. I saw, I think, the 1984 or 85, whatever one. But I didn't really see that either because I fell asleep on it because it was so fucking boring to me when I saw it. This one was really good. The visuals were top tier. Like, just the visuals alone just kept my interest enough for me to be intrigued into the story. From what I gathered, like you said, there's two tribes. I guess the main character, he was royal lineage. He went to, I would say, nomads. I would consider them to be nomads of the planet to help them fight off the Pale People. I don't know the exact names. Fight off the Pale People because they wanted to take over the Spice, and Spice rules the damn world, basically. Their religion, they believe that he was like the chosen one, and he was the Messiah. Say the movie was all over the place, but it was all over the place because I don't know the lore. It was interesting enough to keep me intrigued to figure out what the hell's going on. I wasn't bored. I was more so like, oh, that's cool. Oh, that's nice. Like the sandworm shit, that was amazing. The fights were good. I can't compare it to the first one because I didn't see the first one. It was just like a big intergalactic world war for drugs. That's what I gathered. A lot of political shit involved. And it seemed like the Reverend Mothers were basically playing chess games with their people. And then his mom just started tripping once she drunk that life water. Like talking to her baby and all that. I was like, whoa, what's going on here?
Yep.
I don't know where this is going to lead, but I am intrigued on where it's going to lead. But it was a good movie. For a person that is not into the lore, don't know the backstory, don't know, barely know the name of the fucking characters like that, you could still follow it and still have enjoyment from it. And I did. But the visuals were amazing. The only thing I didn't like about this movie is like, damn, like, I don't know the character, so maybe the character's like this, but Batista played a bitch. I don't understand, man.
Rabban was, like, more...
A bitch?
He was more psychotic, and his...
And they who knows his Rabban? Down. Who's that? Is that the skinny one?
That's the name of...
Batista's character.
Batista's character.
And Rabban, that was his brother, the one that was the skinny one. That,
yeah, Austin Butler.
He was crazy as shit, Elvis. Too. Babe. Are you sure? So, Batista's character... It's supposed to be the crazy one. So what was
they're all fucking nuts, dude. No doubt about that.
Yeah, and then to find out that the lead character's mother was basically the Baron's fucking daughter, I'm like, what in the world? Like,
yeah, so it's a Bene Gesserit bloodline. They basically trying to create the superhuman, but the way they've done it is that they had no intention of creating it within the Atreides bloodline because the Atreides had a strong independent streak that couldn't be controlled by the Bene Gesserits.
We're going to do what we want to do.
and type shit.
Yeah, it was like a threat of defiance that culminated in Paul. They can't control him.
So that gives me a better understanding. I really, really enjoyed this movie. I didn't think I would because I still have like 1984 version in my head, and I was bored to tears. I didn't understand why the people had blue eyes. Like
they hung on twice.
Yeah, but when I saw this, so I didn't understand what was going on or anything. I just knew they had blue eyes and it was worms. That's it. That's all I remember. I could appreciate it. It makes me want to actually read the books. I mean, from what I heard, it's like 7-8 books, something like that. I don't know. But overall, it's an enjoyable movie. The visuals were great. And I do have one question. Why were the other people so pale? Like, is it because of the planet they were on?
So the planet Arrakis contains the spice, what they use for their post-human evolution. So it allows for the guild navigators to do FTL travel. For the Bene Gesserit to give them their psychic powers. There's no disease there. There's no disease in the future because of spice. And it's all based in the economy. It's a super drug that kind of fuels everything.
So did that explain, I guess, like certain people had the powers to be like, shut the fuck up, and they would just shut the fuck up and shit?
Yeah, it's a Bene Gesserit skill that's called the voice. Bene Gesserit has a bunch of skills that they can control every cell in their body, like exactly. So for instance, they can make a fingernail grow to like 2 inches and make it super hard and sharp. Their muscles denser, expand the neurons in their brains to make themselves smarter, things like that. So they can basically control every cell, everything within their bodies, absolutely. And only women can learn these techniques. If they give those techniques to men, they become unholy killing machine.
Oh.
You've got a bunch of women who have like T'Challa or Captain America.
Mm.
That's basically what happened. That's what happened to Paul. Like Paul got turned
into that explains like when he used that power and the Reverend Mother was like, blasphemy, some shit like much. That.
She taught a man that stuff first of all, and now he's doing all this other stuff. But the Kwisatz Haderach is what the Bene Gesserit are trying to do. They want a super being who's able to see the future. And basically, and
he could do that.
Yeah, he could do that, but he has to be under their control. And their goal is altruistic because they want to see humanity progress and evolve to the next phase, but they don't want humanity to be governed by men's savagery.
So the irrationality of man.
The Bene Gesserit can control everything. Mm. Like hormonal changes and things like that don't affect them like that.
Their emotions are in check.
And their thing is that they have enough compassion. The idea is that the Bene Gesserit are women, that way they treat all the people in their flock as their children. So they're
nurturing nature.
Exactly. So you have a superhuman mom. You know, imagine mom has all the powers of Black Panther, but she's devoted to her children, but not irrationally so, where her emotions will override her reasons for that. So they're very logical, very reasoning and stuff.
So Matt, how do you feel about Dune Part 2?
I felt it was a visually stunning movie, especially with the way they presented characters, cinematography, as far as the way they shot it. The character development I really liked, and I think you guys brought up a good point as far as a diverse set of actors and characters without it feeling forced or no woke messages in a classic. And I think this is how you ever redo a classic series. I think this is how you pay it homage while still being in the new age of movies. I'm very curious as far as, because I'm like James, I don't follow the series at all. I don't know anything about it. For me, this is my first time seeing any of this. I'm very curious now that they're going into space, considering that they had such an advantage, the homeland.
The first movie, it takes place on 3 or 4 different planets. So I'm not sure if you saw the first movie, but the world that Paul is from is kind of like an ocean planet.
I thought it was all on one planet, just different sizes of planets.
No, it's Arrakis is an arid planet. So the Imperium of Man in this world in 10,000 years in the future, the known universe has been colonized. So we're not talking just one galaxy, it's multiple galaxies they've traveled. They're able to just fold space and go anywhere. There are millions of planets under their control. Great houses, they'll have habitable planets in their thing. Arrakis is a special one because only place where that spice grows.
And it's considered honor to be able to be in charge of the spice, which is why his father was killed.
they get a cut of all the money when they ship the spice off. As long as spice production is done, right, they can siphon off little bits of it for themselves and sell it. And they just make a ton of money.
You want to finish, Matt?
It was just very good storytelling. And when I looked at the clock, I feel that the movie was that long.
That first movie was long.
Huh?
So that first movie was long.
Yeah, first movie was long. This one didn't feel like it. Maybe because I was already invested in the characters and then the action was something worth watching. So I enjoyed it. I look forward to seeing it again, whether it's streaming or a regular movie or if I go to movie theaters. I think this is probably the highlight of 2024 so far. So I'll leave it at that.
All right. Well, compared to the first movie, this movie has a little bit better pacing. I think my only issue with this is really Paul's turn, his attitude turn. I feel like that just kind of happened a little too quickly. And then because the movie's broken out into three parts, it obviously ends on a cliffhanger. Zendaya was looking hot as awesome. Like with his thing stuck on her nose.
What the fuck?
Looking hot, baby.
Was her character supposed to be like that? Is that an accurate depiction of her?
It's one of the little changes they made. Like,
okay, because I heard that people were pissed off about that. I'm like, well, I don't know the character. So
basically the ultimate ride or die. Like, if you remember the ending and how the ending was, was actually her idea to have things work out that way.
But she left. She dipped.
In the books, he was like, no, you made it, but you're still mine. And he was like, okay. Because at the end of the movie, he says, I'm going to be the emperor. I'll take the princess as my wife, and she'll rule beside me. Behind closed doors, it was like, you and I will never have children together. That one right there, that's my wife. On paper, you're married to me. But in reality, that's my wife. See you tomorrow. Her idea. That's kind of why people were pissed.
Oh, the whole thing? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, Chani was the one. She's basically just ride or die. She was like, I got your back no matter what. Let's do this thing.
Paul's journey in this movie is a little bit more complete than the first movie. Obviously, his father dies. He's marooned in Arrakis.
They thought he was dead, right?
All the other races benefit from the fact that Atreides died, but then Paul's there to say, like, hey, I'm going to avenge my father, and that shakes up the plans that people had. But I guess this will be one of those movies that when people start looking back at CG and good CG, everything that goes on in this looks great. And no, they shot some of this in the desert, but things that they layered on top of it makes it even more visually appealing. So it's like jumping off of sand dunes and they disappear and then they ride in sandworms. But it was something about that first movie. I still don't like that movie. And I think it just felt a little empty, where this one felt more like a movie to me. The first one just felt they were just trying to put it out. All right, let's go to scores. Wrap this up. Keith?
Not perfect, but it's good. It's damn good. That might bump it up to 9.5 because I've seen it twice already, and I'm going to dump more money into IMAX to watch it again because everything about it was fantastic. My only detraction is that there's a couple of things I did not agree with. They forced the Chani schism. It's understandable in terms of the story. I wasn't such a fan of her character from the books and from the other movies that I saw, then I would have gone with that route. But quite honestly, I can't imagine anyone else doing any better of a job with this film than Denis Villeneuve did. Casting was perfect. Loved it. 9.5.
Jay?
I'd give it an 8. Like I said, the visuals were amazing. Very talented film director. Cinematography was good. The character development was pretty good from what I saw. Like I said, I'm going from this movie alone. I haven't seen the first one. I was able to pick up on some stuff.
And you saw it twice. So first of all.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the tale of a good storyteller. If I can't pick up what's going on, even though I haven't seen the first one, I mean, I still have questions, but I know enough to be like, okay, I'm interested to see where this goes. I probably give it a higher score if I knew more. But right now, I'll give it an 8.
So, Matt, what score would you give Dune Part 2?
I'd give it 9.5. I mean, film is...
I mean... Go ahead, Matt.
I mean, this film is excellent. This is what all producers and writers should follow. It's a very well-done movie.
because Zendaya's in it, Zendaya gets a 10. But the movie,
Tina messed up her name, man.
But the movie overall, I mean, coming from that first movie where I think I might have given that a 0. That,
what the hell?
This movie, I would probably give it like a 7.5. I would like to see what Denis Villeneuve would do with John Carter of Mars. I think that movie,
oh my lord, that would be amazing.
That movie with Taylor Kitsch wasn't bad. Visual appeal of this movie could lend itself to John Carter of Mars. Gareth Edwards and or Denis Villeneuve could do something. Basically redeem the property, because classic science fiction, and John Carter was probably like the
turn of the century.
Yeah, so John Carter's like really, really early space stuff before. Just like to see what Denis Villeneuve would do with John Carter of Mars.
Am I the only one that didn't think that John Carter was that bad?
It's not bad.
I loved it, man.
It's not people a bad movie. It's just that Disney didn't understand what to do with the property.
And they killed themselves when they put out there, we're going to lose money on this film, because word of mouth was starting to come around. They come out and say, it's going to fail. They were like, well, what's the point?
Yeah, and then they didn't do themselves any favors with the marketing of the movie, because no one knew what it was. It was just called John Carter. But people knew John Carter of Mars. It was like, what is this?
The IP is now public domain. There have been multiple Princess of Mars books and movies. They should just came out and called it John Carter of Mars or the Princess of Mars or
then John Carter
trailer. And it's like, what the?
Yeah. And it's like, if you weren't really hooked into science fiction like that, you wouldn't understand. It's just like John Carter. It's like, okay.
And your guy running around on Mars with a damn loincloth. You're like, what kind of weirdness is this? This doesn't make sense.
Gaza,
like,
Egypt. No,
basically, guy in 1912 thought about a guy from the Civil War goes up there, Mars, and he has adventures. And the crazy part about it is that the dude's basis of scientific fact, like planes having autopilots, this is back in 1914. There were no fucking planes then. He's talking about planes having autopilots and shit. He's talking about how Mars had underground water and all this other stuff. Like, no, there were no telescopes that could see Mars's water. How the fuck do you know about that shit? Teleportation was bullshit. There was no transporter technology. Basically, they 3D printed and then transmit your consciousness to your 3D printed body. How he got to and from Mars and Earth. Wait a minute. This actually makes fucking some scientific... That makes sense.
Better than that first movie. Much better. Much better acting. And Javier Bardem was funny. He's like, oh my god.
Yeah.
Oh
yeah,
yes.
The dude's just popping up.
Not that man on my side.
He was the ultimate hype man, yo. He's just like, yo, kill me. Take my place. Lead the people. Take my water. You can do this. Like,
damn.
He's like, god damn, bro.
Yeah, but Rebecca Ferguson, I mean, she's been doing some good stuff. I mean, I really hope that the Silo comes back on. Like, I need to...
It's coming.
Who's that? Is that the mother?
Yeah. But she's in the Silo.
Why she look? She don't look like... They look around about the same age.
The Reverend Mother's supposed to look very young.
She's supposed to look young, but the one that was the Reverend Mother before, I guess they transferred whatever over, she was old as shit.
Yes, but it doesn't... Because remember what I told you, like the spice would extend life as well. So the average lifespan then was like 400 years old.
God damn.
So someone being 40 is going to look like...
the Silo needs to come back on. And I need to catch up on some TV shows. I was watching Masters of Air for a little bit.
That's good.
It's definitely not Band of Brothers, and it is not the Pacific.
It's not worth watching then.
So that is the Beast Game Podcast. Again, much better scoring all around for the second movie.